when they were discouraging the people from bringing their children to get a blessing and a prayer. And he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for thus belongs the kingdom of heaven." So I believe when we come to him, he wants us to come to him as the good father that he is. He wants us to come to him knowing he's completely trustworthy. He wants the best for us, even if we don't understand all of his ways, because his ways are higher than our ways, and we can trust him. He is for us and not against us, and he has a good plan for our life. But there is an enemy of Christ who is totally against us. And in John 10:10, it says that this enemy is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I believe that this enemy is wanting to steal the innocence of children, that trusting that, oh, I just believe God is a good father. Well, that's the beginning of my story. My innocence was taken from me at a young age, but that past doesn't mean it's my future, and that wounded heart doesn't mean it's my destiny, and that event that happened to me doesn't mean that it's the truest thing about me. The truest thing about me is not what's been done to me. It's not what's been said to me. It's not if, you know, I excelled at sports. It's not if you excel at your career, because what we do is not who we are. The same goes for you. So I felt like I needed to share my testimony just a little bit so you would have some sort of understanding of where I came from, how God intervened in my life, and how he changed everything for me to know his nature, his character, that doesn't change, so that I could then know who I am in Christ Jesus, so that my identity would be secure in him, not things of this world. Timothy Carr was at the Hop, I don't know, right after Roger and I got married in 2012, I guess it was. But he spoke a word over me, and he kept saying, "Foundations, I just see foundations for you." And I just feel like God has revealed to me that my identity in Christ is the foundation for everything I am to be and to do, and it has to start with that foundation. Before you ever get your calling or your assignment, knowing who you are in Christ is the foundation that sets all of everything that Christ wants to do through you in motion. And there's two scriptures that speak to me about sharing my testimony and just how powerful sharing our testimonies are. We did this a while ago about people sharing their testimonies, and I think it's just powerful just to share what Christ has done for you specifically, because nobody can argue with your testimony. I mean, I just sit there and I think, nobody can talk me out of what I know God did for my life. So, you know, you can talk theology and different things like that, but you can't tell me that God didn't do what he did for me, because I know how my life was prior to God, and I know how my life is now. So in Psalm 41 through 5, I mean, this is my story. It sums up my life so well, and I just wanted to read it to you. I'm reading from the ESV. I think NIV is up there, but it's pretty close. But it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction." Out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Psalm 69, 30 through 33. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This pleased the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns or hoofs. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive, for the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. So, hopefully I can get this together here. So, when what I'm about to do kind of has me shaking in my boots that I'm not even wearing, and I don't really enjoy being vulnerable too much, I just have to say yes to God, because more than anything, I just want to glorify him and just sing praises for all that he has done. So, the Lord often speaks to me through song, And he gave me my testimony and song about 5 years ago. I shared it at the Hop then, and I feel like God's wanting me to share it again. Maybe some people have heard it. Maybe you haven't. But I was thinking about this, and I thought, wow, this is really good because today we're honoring men, and my testimony song is like 2 minutes long. But if I actually tried to like share my testimony, it'd probably be like 30-minute rabbit trail going down a spaghetti story, never finding the meatball. So anyway, I thought, wow. Two-minute story for the men is probably a good idea. Okay. So I'm going to sing my testimony song to you. I'm trying to relax for a second. You see, it hasn't always been like this. You know, in love with my Jesus. When I was a little girl, my innocence was taken from me. And the devil came in with his lies. Unworthy, damaged goods. Who would love you? Who would love you? So it became a bad performance. Best student, best athlete, best child. Then they'll love me. Then they'll love me. You see, I had religion, but I had no relationship. The outside of the cup looked clean. Inside was a total mess. So I went looking for love. Oh, I went searching for love in all the wrong places. I gave my heart away to anyone who gave me the time of day. But soon that faded too, and hurt set in, oh, rejection set in. Shame and guilt made their home in me to stay. Then I married a man who didn't know the Lord. When something better came along, he was out the door. More hurt, more pain. More rejection, more shame. More hurt, more pain. More rejection, more shame. It went on and on and on and on. It went on and on and on and on. It went on and on and on and on. It went on and on and on and on. But then God started speaking to me. He said, it's not your destiny. I've got a plan for your life. Lay it down and come be my wife. I'm faithful, I'm true. Everlasting love, I'll have compassion on you. Fear not, you won't be ashamed. I've called you out and given you a new name. I'm your husband, you're my bride. Together forever, I'll fear aside. That's when I found out that Jesus is enough. Contentment and joy, just the two of us. He redeemed me. He restored my soul. He redeemed me. And he made me whole. He redeemed me. He restored my soul. He redeemed me. And he made me whole. So, if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Ask him. I just wanted to share my testimony song because for a long time I lived with a name that the Lord did not give me. The enemy had me living in shame. He had me believing a lie that I was damaged goods and unworthy of love, real love. But I found out the enemy's a liar. And the only one who has authority to tell me, to tell you who you are, is Jesus, is God, who created you before the foundation of the world. He is the only one that has authority to tell you who you are. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about, like, oh, those lies that come at us. I was just like, oh, that, like, bug zapper, you know? Like, it's like, oh, that lie, and it's like, bzz, 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 you know? We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we replace that lie with truth. So we can just bzz, zap all the lies when they come at us. We have to recognize the lie of the enemy and zap it and replace it with truth. And we know truth by reading the Word of God and what He says about us. And who we are in Him. He has a good plan for your life. He gives us hope for a future, and He'll give you hope for a future with Him for all eternity when you confess Him as your Lord and Savior and believe that He died on the cross for you and rose 3 days later for everything, every sin that we've ever committed, past, present, future. It's been said that your pain becomes your purpose and your passion, right? And your mess becomes your message. And what the enemy means for evil, God will turn it for the good for those who love Him. That's Romans 8:28. So my praise is this, that God took this girl on a journey of finding out who He is so that I, in turn, could find out who I am in Christ. I think it's the finding out who He is and knowing who we are married together as a shield against the schemes of the enemy. You know, I said that I had religion without relationship. Well, I mean, I knew of God. I grew up in church. I went to church more Sundays than I didn't. I did all the required steps to say that I was a believer in Jesus Christ, except nothing changed. There was nothing that changed. I still didn't. There was still something missing. I mean, I didn't even know about the Spirit then. But in my spirit, I just knew that there was something missing. So when I actually got saved in probably about 2007, I just kind of began pursuing the Father heart of God. And it was this understanding of who God really is and how much He really does love and that He is love that changed everything for me. And I think that's why it's so important to be in the Word so that we can actually be washed with what He says about us and made clean. As soon as I started reading the love of the Father, I knew in my spirit that this was the love that I had been searching for a really long time. Like, 35 years, a long time. That's a long time. Because I did. I searched. Like I said, I searched, looked for it everywhere, but nothing satisfied. It wasn't there. But when I found it, I knew it was it. I knew that was it. Like I said, this love's like no other. This love is like arms stretched wide on a cross, dying for me, dying for you, for all of my sins, all of your sins, past, present, future. It's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And it says that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. So I just think God's so good. And for a short season, He just knows us so intimately. He knows I like to run. And for a short period of time, I was meditating on the Father heart of God. So I would go out for my runs, and I would get my sheet of, you know, the characteristics of Christ. And I had to do that because I had to rewire my brain to actually receive the goodness of God, to receive His goodness. Because, to be honest, I mean, it was hard to receive that love. But He took me on a little journey, so I like to do things systematically, so I had the Father heart of God, and I had it all out in A through Z, and so each characteristic, He accepts me, He bears all my burdens, He cares, crowns me with tender mercies, all that stuff. And so I wanted to read a few of those to you, because for some of us, it might be the first time that you've ever heard how good the Father really is. And I've got these, and then there's scripture verses along with them, and I can make a copy for you if you so desire. But let's just soak in the Father heart of God for a second. Just receive it. My Father totally and unconditionally accepts me in the Beloved. He accepts you. My Father bears all my burdens because He cares for me. He bears all of our burdens. He sustains us. My Father crowns me with tender mercy. My Father disciplines me with love and justice. He disciplines us because he knows what's the best for us. And a good father disciplines us. My Father exalts over me with joy. Zephaniah 3:17, my life verse. My Father is a father of the fatherless. My Father guards me as the apple of his eye. My Father honors and cherishes me. My Father Emmanuel is always with me. My Father is my joy and my song. My Father keeps all his promises to me. I want to say that one again. My Father keeps all his promises to me. My Father loves me with an everlasting love and leads me as a gentle shepherd. My Father meets all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. My Father will not abandon me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. My Father will not take his love from me. My Father will never betray me. My Father will not abandon me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I have to say it again. My Father will not take his love from me. My Father will never betray me. My Father is the one who covers me under his wings of refuge. My Father gives peace and doesn't want me to be anxious or worried about anything. My Father quiets me with his love, like a child resting against his mother. This one resonates with me. I chose all of these because these personally speak to me and how I know the Father. My Father's name is Redeemer, because he redeemed my life from the pit. He redeems my life from all my past. My Father rejoices over me with singing. So I can receive him rejoicing over me, and I can sing praise back to him. And that's when things break off of us. Our praise breaks off things that the enemy wants us to keep, offenses. There's some breakthrough. If you're stuck in an area, praise Jesus, and things will break off. It's the open door to breakthrough. My Father set his affection on me. My Father is absolutely trustworthy. My Father will vindicate me. My Father only wants the highest good for me. So for me, I mean, I had to repeat this over and over and over again. I mean, this was a long time ago when I used to run like 7 miles, so this doesn't happen anymore at all. Now I run to catch a kid, or that's about it. But anyway, that was a sweet time too, because I had to let the Holy One, the God who is love, reparent me in his love. And that was because I wouldn't feel like an orphan anymore. You know, I had to know his love, the deep love of the Father. That doesn't tell you that you're unworthy to come to the table and feast with him. He says, come to my table. Everything I have is yours. Come and feast. Come to the Father. There's no reservations. That's another song, but I won't sing it today. That the Lord gave me. Oh, he's good. But there's no reservations. There's no expectations. He just wants to be with you. You know, I had a really great father, a great dad, a great earthly daddy. I do have a great earthly dad. He loves me well. He's not perfect, though. And he's always been there for me. You know, he's loving, he's kind, all that great stuff. But circumstances of life, you know, other people letting you down, you know, things happen, you know. It hasn't been always easy to trust God, you know, and just trust how good he is. So I needed reparenting. I needed to ask him to reparent me in his perfect love. And so maybe that's what you need today, to be reparented in God's incomprehensible. I mean, it's incomprehensible, his love. It never changes. It's without conditions. He's always available. He's never too busy to shower his love on you. And it's a merciful love. And, you know, we all have a story, don't we? I see people nodding their head, because if you have received the love of the Father, you know just how overwhelming it can be at times. But, you know, like for a lot of people today, it's not a happy day. You know, we say Happy Father's Day, but maybe not everybody thinks of this day with happy feelings. You know, we've had people let us down. You know, they couldn't love us the way that we needed to be loved. We're experiencing loss today. But I would just say that God will love you perfectly. And so just receive it. Open your heart, like the song that they were just singing. Open your heart today and receive his love. And I'll just kind of start wrapping this up. But I'll just say that I am so encouraged by the men in our fellowship, because they stand together. And the thing that kind of came to me this morning during worship was their band of brothers. And I'm just encouraged for the men that lead with humility. And I'm really thankful for the Wednesday night men's group. I'm totally blessed by it. I think all the women are blessed by it. Wives are blessed that our husbands are going to it. Sons and daughters are blessed that don't even know it yet. but it just brings safety and security when we know that you guys are sticking together, you're pursuing God, you're encouraging one another, and you're standing together, you know, as a body. So I just wanted to say that. And then, you know, I'm just thankful for so many in here that are what I would call a father by choice, which would be that you have chosen to be a spiritual father or mentor other men in here. So I'm just so thankful for that. I just am so thankful that God lays it upon a person's heart. And I just pray that God would just orchestrate just those divine encounters, that if you are the godly man, that you feel like you need to take a look around and see if there's someone that you can mentor, or maybe if you're the one that needs mentoring, you can pray that God would orchestrate that too. I want to share that when I first got saved, it was about in 2007, really got saved, and knew the Lord, that I was the only single woman in a home fellowship of very large families. And they would invite me into their home, and they would basically just do life with me. They would show me, the men would show me. Just what a godly husband would look like. I didn't even know what to look for. I mean, I didn't even know, like, that a husband should be a protector, provider, priest of his family. He, Rod Neller. And the women, they modeled what it was like to be a godly wife. I mean, it made all the difference in my life. And it changed everything for, like, when God brought Roger on the scene in 2010. Because when he was like, I'll be careful in guarding your heart, I thought, this has to be God. Like, you know, no guy talks like that, you know. At least none that I knew. And those men stepped in, and they pretty much interviewed Roger and, like, you know, gave him the father, like, you got to get past us first deal. And as you can see, he made the cut. Yay! He made the cut. Yeah. But you know what? There is safety in that, because really, I mean, that's what I wanted. That's what I desired. You want men to stand up for you. You want men to rise up and protect women, you know. And be a godly husband, be a godly father. So I'm really thankful for them and for Roger. And I just wanted to kind of share, ask Carla if she would share a little bit about what it means when you have someone step into your life that isn't your physical father, but someone who comes in and steps and fills a gap for the Lord, and how much that means to you. So, Carla. Carla is a good friend of mine. Larry, Carla and I have been friends for a long time, since we were 16 years old. We had our first job together was at Burlington Coat Factory, and they put us together. And we were college roommates. And then the Lord brought us back together. We went to college together at Lincoln Land at Eastern Illinois University. We were roommates in college. And then, I don't know, probably life happened and we weren't, you know. But God brought us back together in Christ. And that makes all the difference. So anyway, bless you, Carla. Mighty woman of God. Deep well. I think of Carla and I think deep well. Hidden treasures. I think overcomer. You're not afraid to do anything the Lord asks you to do. And He loves you. He loves who you are. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Okay, so Amy, that was amazing. I just have to say, she deserves a round of applause. That was amazing. Amazing. My husband back there was squeezing my hand almost everything you said, Amy. I got to get my thoughts here. Okay, first of all, you wrote that song about stand. Amy, that was so good. Thank you for singing that. I've been doing a study on standing and going through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, questions are like, who can stand before the Lord? And then the New Testament, it answers it, you know, in Christ. We stand before God freely by His grace. In faith in His grace, you will stand. So I wasn't even sure what way to go. I was just praying and meditating for days on all of this. And the Father's heart, which is like Amy, I just love that we're sisters in Christ. We're no longer orphans who are like vying for attention and fighting for anything. It's not that we fought that much. We didn't. But you know what I mean, like how orphans are trying to get what they need instead of give what they have, you know, to someone else. But anyway, So yesterday we went to Six Flags and I had a couple moments. Well, first of all, let me say, I love one of my favorite things about God is that whatever your negative is or your minus, He has a plus for it. And I don't think that's ever more evident than in His Father's love for us. Every single one of us. Amy does have a fabulous dad. I love Bob. He's amazing. But he wasn't enough. And none of us, so that needs to take the pressure off all you dads. We can never be enough. A father can't be enough. But the love of the Father is that big plus that comes down in that minus that you have. And we went to Six Flags, and I don't like to ride a lot of rides. And when my kids were riding rides, I was sitting in a chair waiting for them. And I just started going through my life, like my story, and thinking of every tough spot and every sticky situation and every time my back was against the wall and every single time God came through. Like, I just getting saved, just the fact that you don't think you're hopeless and you think you have no place to turn. Then there's a rescuer that comes and saves you and explains to you that He loves you and He died for you and He paid for you. And you're just like every single time. And so I literally went through, you know, over 20 years of God rescuing me out of every situation. And I thought of like how, you know, when you don't have a good father, sometimes there are broken parts of you, your soul for sure. But even with like Dr. Caroline Leaf, actually your physical brain can have spots of trauma and where you're traumatized. And I was looking at Steve, and he was doing something with Milana, and I was thinking of how that's probably my greatest testimony, is that God gave me a husband who is such a good father, who I can get my brain rewired and see what love looks like, what generosity and kindness and discipline and consistency and day in and day out, the heart of the Father. And I think of when I was meditating this week all on Romans 8, where Paul writes to the Romans, and he says, you know, if any of you are led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. And it goes on to say, you have not received a spirit, again, to bondage to fear, but a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it says the Spirit himself. My King James says the Spirit itself, but I look up all these words, and it's himself. Every 3,000 times in the Bible, it says himself. I don't know why they translated itself. But the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, and we are co-heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we will also be glorified. You know, Amy has this amazing testimony. It's like one of the best testimonies ever. And there's a lot of suffering in that. A ton of suffering. And a lot of suffering that we do before Christ. Well, I'm going to try to slow down. I try to prepare my kids probably more than anything in life for suffering. I let them know this will happen to you. I'm trying to show you how to deal with suffering. I'm trying to show you healthy ways. So more than anything else I prepare my kids for, I try to prepare them that you will suffer. But honestly, suffering apart from Christ is so much worse than suffering with him. And I think of so many times that, like, my testimony and my thoughts of what I was going through and of, like, the suffering. But then it goes on to say that we're going to be glorified with him. And in every situation, the suffering, then the glory. The suffering, then the glory. And it's just something I feel like many of us in here are suffering, have suffered, we will suffer. But if we can hold on to the fact that we will be glorified, and we are being glorified constantly as we move on. But something else jumped out of me at that passage, and this is a big thing, is that it never dawned on me, you know, that maybe an answer to suffering is crying out, Abba, Father, is that we cry out. And in your verse too, Amy, where it says, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me. And I feel like so many people suffer all around us all the time. And they just suffer and they suffer and they suffer, and they never use their voice, or they never get to the place where they can cry out. And there's something about when your humility to cry out, when you're humble enough to cry out, that meets your faith in God, something about that mixture, it like draws upon heaven somehow, and heaven comes to you, and heaven answers your prayers over and over and over. And so I would just highly recommend that if you're suffering, cry out. Cry out with your voice. If you're alone, if you're with friends, if you're in our church service, it's nice and loud in here. I like this because we can cry out. And even if we can't really hear ourselves, or other people may or may not hear us, God hears us. We hear, we feel ourselves. We feel the rhythm and the vibration of crying out to Abba, Father. It can be crying out to Jesus. It can be whatever. But it's a gift from God, is that we are adopted into his family. And we can call upon that. If you're an heir, if you are an heir of Christ, if you're an heir of God and you're co-heirs with Jesus, what wouldn't he give you? He who offered up his son, what will he with him freely not give you? And I feel like testimony after testimony, I couldn't even think of just one, hundreds of testimonies of God coming out. But I started realizing it was the crying out. And I don't know if people feel uncomfortable to do that, but I think there's something about lending your voice to that. So anyway, especially us who belong to God, crying out to our Father in heaven. So anyway.
Thanks, Carla. That was good. That's so good. So good. Kyle and Mason, can you come forward? I asked them way far in advance, like right before service started, if they would share about a little trip they went on. I don't know if it was, you know, for a special event, or I don't know, not manhood, I don't know, something like that.
So I don't know if you guys know, but Scott invited us to his fishing retreat up in northwestern Ontario, Canada. And this was the edge of civilization. It was called a fishing outpost for good reason, because there were no roads going to this place. You had to fly into it on a bush plane, land on a river, or land on a lake, and they had his cabins there, and that was it. And you step out your cabin 20 feet, there was wilderness, and it was an amazing thing to see, God's creation just everywhere. And it wasn't, man, and I like to camp. I like to get out into the wilderness. I like to be out there. But this was another level. This was really the just untouched God's creation. It was really a wonderful experience to be out there. And I think the best part was to go out and share that with Mason and, have Scott share some of his fishing wisdom with Mason, and share some of his boat driving wisdom with me, and we had an awesome time. And and thinking about, and thank you, Amy and Carla, for your words today. Those were some very powerful words. And and thinking about that trip and being a dad. Many times, we have an opportunity to shy away from spending time with our kids. To that's, too much money, or that's I'm not in the mood, or I'm too tired, I've got to work, blah, blah, blah. And it's important that we do step out into those situations of uncomfort. Step out into those situations of really sacrificing ourselves and what we want, and do those things with our kids. And I think God will always bless you in that situation as a dad, when you are firm in your foundation and your relationship with Him. And much like Amy was saying, that Christ is your foundation, and if you step off from that foundation into His plan, and you'll be blessed, and you'll bless those around you. And I really hope that for all of the biological adoptive fathers out there, mentors, spiritual fathers, I really want to encourage you guys to listen to what God's telling you, listen to His word, and step out in confidence on the foundation that He provides you, and to take that time to share a minute or share a week with your kids and those around you and those that you love. Mason, do you have anything to add to that?
No.
I have a question. Yeah, now it's an interview. Mason, can you tell me what a trip like this means to you, that you would have your dad and Pastor Scott invest in you? Is it kind of cool?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what to say, to be honest, because just to know that I'm cared about that much, yeah, to set aside that much time and money for me really meant a lot. So
That's it. that's what I think about here, is that we can really set aside time. I mean, he is such a tender heart. I remember the first time that he and Lily, I think, got up and played communion at the Old Hop and stuff. And I was like, man, those kids, that's it. They're going for it. They're doing it, Yeah. God sees your heart. Yeah, and He's proud of you. Yeah, so I'm just thankful for that.
No.
Yeah.
I know I'm not supposed to do anything, but I'm going to do something.
Okay, Scott's doing something. He was supposed to relax.
She said, I can't do anything today, but I'm going
to. I know he's led by the spirits.
One thing. The reason why we went.
Yes, that's what I wanted to do. Yes. Yeah. That's what I was trying to do earlier. Yeah, the reason why they went.
For years I've gone. I started going up here in 97 when Andrew was 12 years old. And this will be a hard story to tell, but I'm going to tell it. So we were fighting for Andrew's life, and one day, Andrew says, "Dad, I got to tell you something." I said, "What?" He said, "You're not going to believe what Mason did." I said, "What?" He said, "He told all of his friends and family, don't give me anything for my birthday this year. Just take the money, put it together in a check, and we're going to give it to Andrew to help with all of his treatments." And so they brought a sign over that probably hang on Jen's fridge for 2 years, from Mason and his crew. So to Andrew, "Cancer sucks, but you sure don't." He said to me, I don't want to take this, Dad." And I said, "Well, you know, you can't say no on that deal. You have to." And he said, "Pop, can we take him fishing or something?" He said, "Dad, can we do something? Can we?" And he said, "When I get better, Dad, I just want to make sure that we can get him somewhere where he'll know what it's like to go out and just enjoy fishing like we do." And I said, "Buddy, we're going to do that." So, 2 summers ago, when Kyle just said to me, "You know that fishing trip that you guys always talk about? I'm saving money up. I want to go on that trip." And I said, "Well, I'll take you, and I'll set you up." So I made sure that, number one, that I was able to fulfill a promise that I had made to my son, but also to say there was a lot of things in that time that happened, but there was none that was more important, more remembered, more awesome than what this guy did. And so the ability just to say, so we took him fishing for a little while, but it was more than what he had done, how it impacted us, and how it's still in our life is something important will never, ever be forgotten. And I let him know that. So I love you, buddy, and thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing, guys. I got 3 Kleenexes because I thought I might need them. Something to share. Oh, God. Do you have something, Larry? Okay. Come on.
I didn't know if guys actually got to talk this morning, but I guess we broke that wall down. So I know it's like, you'll call me Captain Obvious, but I just want to speak it. I just want to release it because, you know, in the Old Testament, there's so many examples of mighty women warriors, you know, that God used in such powerful ways. And isn't it great for us guys to sit back today and see the awesome power of God in women right here? You know, and of course not just Carla, not just Amy, but there's many mighty warrior women in our midst, and not just in prayer, but certainly in prayer, because when you pray that much, God just starts oozing out and overflowing. And I just want to say thank you to the women, you know, God says in his word that to those who have been forgiven much, love much. But I think it's really clear today, too, that for those who have been healed much, deeply of God, love much.
Yeah. Is there someone who can play the piano? Or take us into a time of closing worship. And if you know that song, "Come to the Altar," that'd be awesome too. If not, do your own thing. Yeah.
One of the great privileges of my life has been to disciple Roger in the past. I wish I could have continued for until the present, but I got involved in ISF and couldn't do it. But Roger, I just want to tell you how proud of you I am. Roger has made such significant progress in God in the last number of years, and I just wanted to tell him how much I love him and how much I appreciate what God has done in his life.
I just so appreciate the sharing in the hearts of people, Lord. And I just thank you that you continue to reveal your heart to us, Father. And I just pray that everyone would be able to receive the love of the Father. So I just felt like in worship that we should just have all of the men come forward. I'm not going to make you hold hands in a circle or anything, because that's what girls do. Guys don't do that. Guys get together in a circle like a team huddle. So just go ahead and get in a circle, like a big cluster, a big circle, like a team huddle, you know, like, go men. Ugga, ugga, woo, beat my chest, you know, that sort of thing. Like, huddle, huddle, huddle. And everyone else can come forward. And let's just surround them. Let's surround them. We just say, we stand with you. We stand with you, mighty men of God. We're thankful for how you're growing in Christ, how you're pursuing him, how he's raising you up. You don't even know it yet. He's raising you up. You're not alone. You're not alone. The Father is always available to you. He never says, I'll be there, and doesn't show up. He's always there for you. He's your defender. He's your comforter. He's your healer. He's your Father. He guards you. He exalts over you with rejoicing and song. He's the Redeemer. He redeems your life from the pit. He gives you a new name. Fear not, I've redeemed you. I've called you mine. You are his. You belong to him. He accepts you just as you are. And he sees the best in you. And he's calling it forth today. His arms are open wide. He says, come. Come as close as you want. Come. Lay on my chest. Feel my heart beat for you. Let his love wash over you today. If anyone has a prayer,
just felt like the Father was encouraging the men that I know you're not alone. And I just felt like Jesus was a man. And I just felt an invitation today that he knows any struggle. Abba Father has known in a 3-in-1. Anything you've experienced, Jesus, as a man, knows. He came and became flesh. He became a man. So today I just felt the invitation to remember that Jesus is a man and he's your friend. And I know that's hard. Sometimes you feel unseen or not worthy, or how do I do this? But Jesus was a man. And so you can cry out to the Father. You can say, Jesus, help me in the ways I can go. So today I just want to encourage each and every one of us that there is, he's alive in heaven. And we can look to him. We can focus on a man, Jesus Christ, to help us in our time of need. We're all in need of a Savior, each and every one of us. So God, I ask today that you, the man who became flesh, God, that we can come to you, that you're not an idea, you're not a thought, you're not a conception. God, I thank you. God, you're not a concept. You're a real man who became flesh on our behalf, that he had you in mind. You are not forgotten. Every person in here, each one of us, was a thought in the Father's heart. God, so today would remind us again of who you are as a man and as a father, that we can come to you as a friend, as a brother. God, in our time of need, in our lack, that we can go to our friend and say, I don't know how to do this, or I'm lonely, or teach me your ways, God. I thank you for your friendship, God, for your leadership, God, and how you are Savior. And your arm is never too short. God, remind us again of who you are and how we can come to you. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I know as a parent, you can deal with so much condemnation. And Lord, I just feel that from my brothers today, that many of them deal with condemnation for their mistakes that they've made. And I just come against that right now in the name of Jesus. I come against any condemnation in any heart. Lord, that you would fill them with your grace and your love and let them know that you are fixing every mistake that they've made in their daughters and sons. Lord, whether it's many years ago or recent, tomorrow, whenever, the future, Lord, you are correcting them. Lord, you are a perfect father. And I just pray for all of these dads to rest in your arms today, and that they would they would feel the peace of God that transcends all understanding as they parent and they love and they give. Lord, and like Kyle said, Lord, help them to make the steps to spend time. Sometimes when you don't feel like it, but just make the step. Just take the step to spend time with your child. And Lord, I pray you give these men words to speak over their children, anointed, powerful words to speak over their children and to them. And Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen every father here by your grace, help them be full of faith, mighty, valiant warriors on behalf of their children. In Jesus' name.
And men of God, when you feel weak, you are strong in the Lord. He gives you strength beyond what you are capable of. And when you worry, he is your courage, your encouragement. And when you have doubts, he is your certainty. He is your absolute sureness, your confidence. and in him you will stand strong and mighty and powerful in the name of Jesus. You will put one foot in front of the other and go out in faith, courage, love, and brotherhood.
Okay, now the men, we're going to let the men go first to the ice cream sundae bar downstairs. Before you go, we have a few little things to make it not so chaotic. So, two scoops to go through the line first until everybody gets served, and then you can, you know, get more, of course. Be considerate when you're taking toppings that there are several people here. And maybe take a little the first time around and go back for seconds later. Parents, keep your children with you when they're getting their toppings. I mean, I'm just saying. And all will go well. So, let the men go ahead and go downstairs for